Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
All right, welcome to it.
Oh, what a look. That sun is shining brightly. Have you noticed as you drive in, if you're early up in the morning, it's lighter now. I mean, I'm driving in at, 5:30 this morning. It's already pretty light out. Mark Schlereth off today, although we've already heard from him because he can't stay away from a microphone too long. But Chad Brown sitting in again.
Chad Brown.
And, boy, I didn't realize until we were talking during the break, apparently this Juwan James injury is, hits you hard on many, many fronts. It's affecting you personally, even.
Yeah. You know, so every year since I retired, on my birthday, I go out and I do a dunk in my front yard. 10-foot hoop, you know, standard basketball, do all that. Show myself I can still get up. I still got some hops. And the last couple years, the concern about, what if I tear an Achilles? What if something bad happens out here? So last year at 50, I did it. It took me about a half hour of warm up to get myself up to it and fully ready, lathered up to go. And I got it done. It's on my Twitter. Somebody wants to see what I did last year in July. But that's it for me. Because the concern of, man, what if I tear my Achilles doing this stupid challenge for myself.
Dude, look at you. Yeah, come on now, man. I mean, have you ever had even a twinge?
Never. Not one.
You're fine.
When I played, I didn't wear ankle tape, all that stuff.
You're good, man. Keep doing it. If you can do it, do it.
Man, people tear Achilles getting out the shower.
Guys like me tear it. Guys like me tear their Achilles gain out of the shower. Guys like you do not tear their Achilles gain out of the shower.
Kevin Durant tore his Achilles.
Guys like you get out of the shower and say, I'm going to come in and linger in front of the mirror here for a while.
Well, I still do that. That's not going to change. But I tell you what, I'm not going to do it with a torn Achilles because I was trying to dunk on my birthday.
Yeah. So 50. You want a 50. No, you're 50. Done.
I capped it at 50. I am not doing it at 51, no matter what you try to convince
50,
me to do.
50, the magic number.
I'm proud to say I'm 50 years old. I'm not one of those gals who's afraid to tell her real age. I like to kick, shred, and kick. I'm 50.
There you go.
50 years old.
I'm 50 and I dunk.
Yes.
50 years old.
51, I do not dunk.
Going out on top.
Yeah, man. End it on a high note.
Just like Elway.
Yeah.
Right off into the sun.
You don't sunset. End it on crutches.
Right?
Yes. You bask in your glory of your last dunk.
There you go. All right. Fair enough.
Good for you, bud.
So, by the way, I didn't realize what I had said until textures reminded me of it. So I brought up the scenario that if you trade for Aaron Rodgers and you give up so much for Aaron Rodgers and he decides, you know, if he comes here and wins a Super Bowl in year two, does he decide, you know, after, you know, 3 years or so, all right, I'm good, I'm done. And people right away are like, wins the Super Bowl, Evans? I'll take the Super Bowl. You telling me we win a Super Bowl? I'll make that trade. Yeah, I guess you're right.
I didn't want to push back because it just didn't.
You're right.
Yes.
As somebody said, if we even win one championship, isn't the price irrelevant? Yeah,
yes.
You're right. Although I'm sure some people would be like, well, but with the, you know, that's why you got to get the young quarterback so you can do it for 15 years. Ah.
Yeah.
And those 15-year quarterbacks, they're rare.
They are rare. So are Super Bowl championships. So
yes.
you give up, you know, two future first rounders, a first rounder in Sertan or Chubb and Drew Locke and Tim Patrick to make it all happen. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
You do. You literally mortgage the future to get a championship.
You can't think about yeah, if you're living in Kansas City, you have the luxury of thinking about the next 15 years. Great, congratulations. But that's so rare. If you really look at it realistically, the NFL is nothing but a bunch of 3 to 5 year windows.
Yes.
And if you can maximize and dominate during a 5 year window, take it.
Even in Kansas City, at some point, they're going to have to rebuild around Mahomes. They can't keep Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Mahomes together forever. At some point, they're going to have to rebuild around Mahomes. Things will degrade around them. They'll miss the playoffs a year or two, and then they'll ramp it back up again.
And you know what? As rough and as brutal as these last 5 years have been, if you had told me prior to signing Peyton Manning, you'll get the Peyton Manning era and everything that came with it, but the cost of that will be what we've seen on the back end, sign me up. Is there anybody out there who would say, oh, no, I don't think I'd do that? I want to be consistent every year.
Ideally.
I want to be
You do want to be consistent.
I want to be the Vikings. Oops. Too soon?
No, you want to be the Steelers.
Too soon? Right.
You want to be the Steelers.
Yeah.
Ideally, you'd love to be the Patriots, but a more realistic target is to be the Steelers, where you're in the playoffs and competing every single year.
All right, I got to get to this. Speaking of the Steelers, so while a lot of people are sympathetic to Aaron Rodgers and what's been done to him in Green Bay, not everybody is sympathetic. Terry Bradshaw went on, was it the WFAN in New York, I believe, and had this to say about Aaron Rodgers.
I do think that our superstar quarterbacks feel a little bit empowered by their fame and certainly by their fortune, and they are a little bit pampered. A lot of coaches would say, you know what, he deserves to be pampered. He's this, he's that. Aaron Rodgers coddled maybe too much. He has no right to want to get the GM fired. What right does he have? I'm support Green Bay here. Make him come back. You know, make him come back to you.
Does Terry Bradshaw have a point? If you were a teammate of Aaron Rodgers right now, would you find his behavior selfish?
Slightly, but at the same time, the situation is set up where Aaron Rodgers has no control over his future. That's all he's seeking to get is control over his future. They have set this up to where Aaron Rodgers has, you know, very little dead cap money, so Jordan Love can be the starter, so they can then figure out what they want to do for Jordan Love, possible fifth-year option. The way the contracts line up for both of those guys, that's the scenario that's coming. So regardless of how well Aaron Rodgers plays, he's got no control over it. They've already dictated his future and the path forward for the organization. So I completely understand where Aaron Rodgers is coming from that perspective. You mean to tell me no matter what I do, if I become a five-time MVP, it's still going to be this kid? Yeah, that's how the contracts are set up.
This text comes in. My goodness, if Terry Bradshaw's ripping into Aaron Rodgers this much, just imagine what he would say about Paxton Lynch crying on the sidelines. I don't think that Terry Bradshaw's ever spent a minute thinking about Paxton Lynch, but if he ever chose to, I'm sure he would be very put off by Paxton crying on the sidelines. Day number 2193 of the Paxton Lynch smear campaign as it rolls on. Okay, I want to get into more about what Bradshaw had to say. And is there any concern that if you do pursue Aaron Rodgers, you know, how concerned are you that you are going to be able to create a situation that he'll be happy with? And if he isn't happy, will he become a malcontent? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Bradshaw comments. Tell you what, Benny, why don't we play them again? Just to kind of set the mood here. So this is Terry Bradshaw talking about Aaron Rodgers.
I do think that our superstar quarterbacks feel a little bit empowered by their fame and certainly by their fortune, and they are a little bit pampered. A lot of coaches would say, you know what? He deserves to be pampered. He's this, he's that. Aaron Rodgers coddled maybe too much. He has no right to want to get the GM fired. What right does he have? I'm support Green Bay here. Make him come back. You know, make him come back to you.
This text, guys, I definitely want Rodgers here, but in the Packers' defense, he did sign the contract. He sure doesn't have to worry about Jordan Love, and if the Packers go that route, teams will still want Rodgers. And he will get paid more then. If I were the Packers, I would say play or sit. Tom from Lafayette. I know how Mark feels about this. This always gets him agitated. But what about the idea? Hey, Aaron, Packers paid you like $37 million last year. Okay? At the end of the day, you're still an employee. And we're going to run the business the way we want. You're getting paid to do a job. You agreed to the contract. Deal with it.
There's something to be said for that. But just because you make $37 million now, you no longer have any control over your future. That's the trade-off. I don't believe that's the trade-off. And the Packers want to take this on a year-by-year basis. Aaron Rodgers just wants some commitment from the Packers. Having been a player, I completely understand the player side. Having owned and currently owned businesses, I understand the business side of things and how business thinking works as well. But when you have a player of the caliber of Aaron Rodgers, to Terry Bradshaw's point, to use the word empowered, yes, your greatness does empower you and should give you pampered treatment to a certain respect. Asking for the GM to be fired, I think that's a step too far. But for your future, if you literally have no control over that because of a contractual situation, no matter how well you play, they're still going to make this move, and you've got no options. You're forced to go to work every day with your replacement sitting next to you. That's not a very comfortable situation. That's not a situation conducive to greatness. So while Aaron Rodgers may feel pampered from a management perspective, and what's a general manager? He's a manager. How do you manage that situation to maximize what Aaron Rodgers brings every day when his replacement is sitting next to him every day in meetings?
What do you think bothers him more? The idea that they drafted his replacement or that they haven't been aggressive in trying to put weapons around him?
I think as a player, you know they're always trying to draft your replacement. But you would love to be in a situation where you can perform so well that you still have control over your future. In this case, they drafted his replacement, and in that move, essentially drew up a rough draft of when Aaron Rodgers is going to leave that organization. Did they count on Aaron Rodgers being MVP last year? I don't think they did. But even with that, it still doesn't change what the Packers' plan is going to be. He's got literally no control over his future here.
So you understand how this business works, the NFL. You're in the league 5 minutes. You understand it's a business, right? But can you understand, even though you're part of a football team and you understand all the things that have to go into a football team winning, can you understand – and do you admit that the quarterback, because of his importance, being the face of the franchise, certainly the way he is paid, almost becomes like an assistant GM and should be brought in on these conversations? Hey, Aaron, we're going to draft Jordan Love. You're still our guy, but hey, we have to start to prepare ultimately for when you move on. This is what we're going to do. Hey, Aaron, you know, where are you at right now when you look at our receiving group? You know, should these guys be given that responsibility and that luxury that certainly places them above the rest of the 52 guys on the team?
I think having conversations with those guys, I don't think they become an assistant GM. I don't want my quarterback coming upstairs and telling my GM about some kid he saw in college. Mm-hmm. I don't want that.
Right.
But to be looped in on the conversation, to have those kind of conversations, I think it's important. It's a management thing. Again, you are the general manager. You are managing all these contracts, but you're also managing the relationships as well. And so to give Russell Wilson or give Aaron Rodgers 10 minutes of conversation, that 10 minutes goes a long, long way.
Right.
And silence just creates a narrative within those guys of distrust, of uncomfortableness, of where are we going? I'm the most important player, not from a ego perspective, but just the reality of the situation on this team. And they're making moves without even getting any kind of feedback from me. No one's got more pulse on it than I do. You're up in your ivory tower making choices. I'm down here in the trenches. I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
So those conversations I think are important to have, particularly with guys who have reached that kind of status.
You can't just, and I already see a couple of, you know, email texts coming in. You know, at the end of the day, he's an employee. And he's got to do his job and shut up. Well, you know what? He's not just an employee.
That's not how you manage people. That's not how you maximize.
Well, a lot of businesses do.
But those businesses don't maximize their employees. I try to be less of a true business boss guy and more of a coach. I'm trying to maximize all my employees. I want to coach them up all the time. I'm not a school teacher. I'm not giving you a test where you can pass or fail. I want you to win every time. Therefore, my business wins every time. So I want to coach you up consistently and give you encouragement and prodding and everything I possibly can to maximize you as an employee. I think the thought of shut up and work and shut up and play does not maximize what that guy brings every day.
Very quickly, we were talking earlier this hour about how you decided to end your streak of dunking on your birthday at 50. Because you don't want to tear an Achilles like Juwan James did.
Correct.
Rich came up with a great, great compromise. As he wrote in, he said, Chad, maybe just lower the rim or whatever you need. Kind of treat it like an extra down.
Oh, I'm proud to say Rich. I'm 50 years old.
That was Rich.
I like that one, Rich. Touche. Well played. Okay, four down territory coming up next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is four down territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
Oh, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I haven't.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
Achilles!
All right, Juwan James tears his Achilles tendon. The expectation that he will be out for most, if not all, of the upcoming season. It's a big blow for the football team. No matter how much you may be down on Juwan James, and I understand it, we've seen just enough glimpses, and believe me, they've been glimpses, but to realize when this guy plays, he is an above-average right tackle, and they're a better football team with him out there. And I do think that he was motivated to come back and play hard and play well this year. The bigger question is, Chad, if you're the Broncos, this guy got hurt off-site. He was one of the players who chose not to come in for the voluntary workouts. The Broncos, it would certainly be within their rights to go after this guy, try to avoid contracts, recoup signing bonus money. Do you think they'll do that?
I certainly hope not. They are within their rights, given a reading of the collective bargaining agreement, to go after that. But it wasn't like he fell off a motorcycle. It wasn't like he, you know, tore his Achilles jet skiing or something like that. He was training for the season. With the COVID stuff that the union asked the guys not to come in, it puts Juwan James in an uncomfortable situation, puts the Broncos in a bad spot as well. But I think the Broncos need to do the right thing here. But I will say for George Payton to not bring in a tackle this offseason with Juwan James's history was a little short-sighted. And I know it's 2020 looking back now, but guys who have shown their inability to be available, that tends to be who they are throughout their career. This is who he was in Miami, missing lots of time, and it's now showed up again, even though it's not his fault in this circumstance.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Aaron Rodgers coddled maybe too much. He has no right to want to get the GM fired. What right does he have? I'm support Green Bay here. Make him come back. You know, make him come back to you.
Terry Bradshaw criticizing Aaron Rodgers. You know, look, something tells me that if Terry Bradshaw played today and had the success that he had with Pittsburgh back in the 70s, he was having it today, something tells me he would probably be a little bit more demanding, a little bit more, I want this, I want that, I can ask for this, I can ask for that. Here's the other thing, too, Chad. You know what was last weekend? The Kentucky Derby. Tom Brady was there, wearing that hat that made him look like a villain in an Indiana Jones movie.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers was there as well. You know they talked, and you know Brady was saying to Rodgers, man, life is great. I go down to Tampa. I got to pick where I wanted to go. I got to run the offense I wanted to run the offense. I got to bring in players that I wanted. I got Antonio Brown in there. I got Rob Gronkowski in there. I got to be player and general manager. It was awesome. Aaron Rodgers is even more emboldened to get what he wants after visiting with Tom Brady this past weekend. Would you agree?
I would absolutely agree. And, you know, I think some fans and maybe some teams would look at the Brady situation as if he's somehow has violated and crossed the line. It's a partnership. When you have a player that great, it is a partnership. To partner with Aaron Rodgers and try to win a championship, I think is a fantastic thing to do. And for Terry Bradshaw, you played with like 11 Hall of Famers when you were with the Steelers. You won 4 Lombardis in 6 years. There wouldn't be a lot to complain about if that were the current situation. For Aaron Rodgers, last 10 NFL drafts, 9 defensive players. The other first-round pick, they drafted Jordan Love, his eventual replacement. So there's a legitimate gripe that Aaron Rodgers has there.
Next in four-down territory.
Third down.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
So Bill Barnwell of ESPN, who anytime he writes something for ESPN, it is a, what do they call it? It's an opus. I mean, it is, it's War and Peace. It's always
a 5,000 word
read. It's always well thought out. It's always well researched. It's always very well put together. So he came up with 7 teams that would be interested in trading for Aaron Rodgers and what it would take, the trade proposal to get it done. Here's what he had for the Broncos. Tell me if this is a deal you would make. Packers get Patrick Surtain, Tim Patrick, Drew Lock, a 2022 first-round pick, and a 2023 first-round pick. The Broncos will get Aaron Rodgers and also get a cornerback thrown in Eric Stokes.
Done.
Done?
Done.
You're basically talking about 3 first-round picks.
A second-round pick for Drew Lock. Done. Absolutely. Aaron Rodgers gives this organization or any organization an incredible chance to win a Lombardi Trophy. I would trade those picks and those players in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so would I.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. The first round picks sting, but you're not giving up second rounders, third rounders, anything like that, and you get the added benefit of making it up on the other end with the kind of free agents that you're going to be able to draw here who want to come here and play with Aaron Rodgers. So that mitigates some
of
the
loss. He becomes that rising tide that lifts all boats. The same Peyton Manning effect. Suddenly you're getting studs defensively in free agency because Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback.
And you're not giving up all of the, or any really of the young offensive players that you would be, that would be attractive to Rodgers to want to come here in the first place. You still got Judy, you still got Sutton, you still got Fant. Yeah, I love Tim Patrick, but.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater could be the quarterback this year, and I question what the role really is for Tim Patrick. All right, next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
With the ninth pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Denver Broncos select Pat Surtain, Jr., defensive back, Alabama.
How much is the NFL king? How much? Here's your evidence, folks. Round one coverage of the 2021 NFL draft delivered 12.5 million viewers. It ranks as the second highest day one on record. To put that in comparison, the last time we had normal sports, 2019, the NBA Finals averaged 9 million viewers per game. The NFL draft got 3.5 million more viewers than the NBA Finals averaged.
Yeah, so Mark Cuban, with your quote that fat pigs get slaughtered, this NFL pig is just getting fatter and fatter. It's going to have a heart attack before it gets slaughtered.
Right.
This pig is just growing bigger every year, buddy.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's why, and the people who know most, the TV execs,
they love it.
They love it. Why do they continue to just throw billions of dollars at the NFL?
It's the greatest
Here you
TV
go.
Product ever.
Here you go. We'll give you whatever you want. Here you go. Because they know. They know. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. All right, Troy Rank's going to join us. What is he hearing? Are the Broncos considering going after Juwan James and really punishing him for getting hurt while working outside the facility? That's coming up next. But anyway, John Clayton likes Slayer. Troy Rank loves The Cure. So this is his walk-up music. Troy Rank presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air, our Denver 7 insider. We take care of you, Troy. Morning, Troy.
Hello, Troy.
Hello, Troy.
Hey, you guys are great. If it wasn't Live Wire by Motley Crue, you got some Cure. I love it.
All right, so file that one away, Benny. Maybe next time we'll do, we'll just make it a Cure Motley Crue, you know, soundtrack anytime Troy comes on. And then we ask him very important questions like this one. Are the Broncos going to go after Juwan James? Void his contract. Go after signing bonus for getting hurt while working out away from the facility?
Well, I mean, they can. That's the simple answer. Everything would be on the table. You know, as it stands, by him working off site, it would void his, he possibly could lose $20 million, but it'd certainly void his $10.5 million that he was due this year. I don't think that he's going to play a down for the Broncos. I think it's over, but, you know, that hasn't been decided yet. But if it gets to that, and they feel like he's never going to play another down, they could try to claw back a portion of his signing bonus, the $3 million. They would go after the $10 million for next year. I mean, it is – I hate to see guys get injured. This is a mess. His relationship with them has been, you know, frayed since his knee injury a couple of years ago. I mean, they repaired that sort of, but this was his year to rebound. So to answer your question, everything would be on the table because it appears he's likely played his last down with the Broncos. And if that were the case, by my math, they could end up paying him $17 million to play 63 snaps. You know, I mean, it's just unfortunate in so many ways that it crushes them because that was an anchor position on the team. And for him, you know, it's just been a disappointing tenure with the Broncos that barely saw him on the field.
So, Troy, it clearly seems like the Juwan James era is completely over here in Denver. So the next question after, you know, do they pay him and all that kind of stuff and the union COVID stuff is who replaces him? Who becomes that guy to step up? Is it Calvin Anderson? Do they make a move somewhere else on the offensive line? Does Dalton Reisner kick out over there? What's the early plans to replace Juwan James.
Yeah, they do like Calvin Anderson. He started a couple of games last year, one at right, one at left tackle. He trained all off season with Garrett Bowles, you know, an attempt to prepare. When I talked to Calvin in March, you know, he was preparing as if he would compete for a starting job, because at that point it was unclear. There was uncertainty surrounding Juwan James' situation. So Anderson has that mindset, Chad, of being ready to try to start. Now, I was told yesterday by sources they want to add a veteran right tackle to protect themselves. Could they go right back down the road they did last year with DeMar Dotson? Can they go after someone more qualified that's played in the league and certainly started in Charles Leno that was just cut Monday by the Bears? Or do you look at someone who's coming off an injury like Mitchell Schwartz from the Chiefs, who's been a terrific player in his career, but obviously had a significant injury last season? So could you sign someone like that, slow play it, knowing you have Anderson and trying to combo that position? Or do you bring in someone like Dotson just to kind of patchwork it? But they do want to add experience. I was told, again, that the plan is not to kick Reisner to right tackle. They want to keep him at left guard. He played tackle in college, but he profiles in the pros much better as a guard. And so that the plan for now is to keep him at his position of left guard.
Look, Troy, you can't blame a guy like Juwan James for tearing his Achilles tendon. I mean, it's a freakish type injury, but still, it's Juwan James. I mean, these are the kind of things that happen to Juwan James that he seems to find himself involved in. Should the Broncos have anticipated something happening with Juwan James and gone out and drafted a tackle?
Well, I mean, not in the first round. They weren't going to take Slater over Pat Surtain, from everything I've been told. Because Surtain was there, and they liked him. Not the value at nine, where they felt the value was with Surtain. If he was viewed by them as a top five player, Slater was viewed somewhere, you know, in that 10 to 15 range where he fell. The question would have been, should have taken one in the second round. The kid from Oklahoma State was on the board. I mean, there are other guys on the board on day two that you could have gone after. And that's going to, you know, when they look back, depending on, I love the pick of Javonte Williams, but gee, that's where best player available versus need, and should right tackle been viewed as both a need and take best player available? We'll see. If they're not able to get a veteran they're comfortable with, you certainly can argue that they should have added depth there. They signed a kid as an undrafted free agent. They tried to protect himself. I think in some ways, too, he was around the facility. James was working out at the facility. They liked what they were hearing from him. He was eager to rebound. So I'm not saying that prevented them from taking someone, but they felt like, okay, we've got a plan moving forward. We've put our eyes on him. He's ready to play. He seems his mindset's right. And then this happens. And like you said, should they have prepared for the worst-case scenario with him? Unfortunately, that seems like it's been his Broncos tenure. But they did talk to him and see him, so I give him that benefit of the doubt that it wasn't like they were doing it on blind faith. They had seen him recently, talked to him, coaches had talked to him. They felt good with where he was leading into the off-season programs, and then this happened.
All right, Troy, the Aaron Rodgers saga still kind of continues. Bill Barnwell put out, he sees a possible trade scenario with the Broncos being a 2022 first-round pick, a 2023 first-round pick, Patrick Surtain, Tim Patrick, and Drew Locke. Are you hearing anything from Dove Valley about possible scenarios? And given the one I just ran down to you, is that a trade that you would make with those players in that package?
Yeah, we're not hearing trade scenarios yet because he's not yet available. Now, obviously, behind closed doors, they can start playing the hypothetical game. And I would expect George Payton to be interested if and when the Packers make him available. They decide this relationship's not repairable and we've got to move on. That's the type of trade it would take. Two first rounders and some young players. I would suggest that the Packers would probably want Teddy Bridgewater over Locke. They've already got Locke on their roster and Jordan Love. Why would they want Love and Drew Locke? I don't know that makes a lot of sense for them. A team that's built to win, I think, would want the veteran quarterback to protect themselves. So let's say for this exercise, two first, Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know if Tim Patrick would qualify as a young enough player. He certainly is a guy who hasn't made a lot of money. He was produced last year when given opportunity. So he'd be in conversation. I think they would shoot higher for Jerry Jeudy, that they would want a former first-round pick. They would probably ask for Jeudy or Chubb. Chubb's interesting because he's due to start making real money next year on his fifth-year option, and then certainly huge money if he goes out and repeats last year's performance. So, but that's the kind of deal it would take. Two ones, you know, I think it would take two ones, a two, and a young player, and a quarterback. I think it would be Bridgewater over Locke because of the way the Packers are currently built, and they have Jordan Love. But it would sting, but it's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, once you get to that point, you are, if you decide you're going to trade for him, you're not worried about what's leaving out. You know bringing him in is going to camouflage weaknesses. That's the one thing about we learned with Peyton Manning. You might have discrepancies on your, you know, value, and this, but ultimately Peyton, you know, these guys camouflage more blushes than Revlon. So you're bad at third receiver or second receiver. Peyton makes every receiver look good. That's like guys like Rodgers. How many great receivers has he played with? And every time those receivers outside of Davante Adams, they leave, you don't hear from them much. So I would not, you know, as much as it stings, I would not hesitate to put a receiver in the deal for Rodgers because he makes the next guy up look fine. So I think that the Broncos are, they got to be plotting, be ready to pounce and be nimble, and I think they will be. But it's just first the Packers have to make him truly available, and they're not at that point yet.
Troy, as you've gotten a chance to learn about George Payton, talk to George, get a sense for what he's doing over there. Look, we know he's been consistent in saying that he's content to go in with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. He did not draft a quarterback at number 9 when he could have. But despite sending out by his actions a message that would indicate that he's okay with where they're at with the quarterback position, do you get a sense that if an Aaron Rodgers is made available, if before all the legal issues came up, that a Deshaun Watson was available, that this guy would be uber aggressive in going after one of these guys?
And for specific players, yes, meaning Rodgers, yes, and for Deshaun Watson prior to his legal issues, correct. Now, they were in on Matthew Stafford, but they weren't all in.
Right.
It wasn't all chips to the center
would
of the table.
Would they be all in with these guys?
You know, Rodgers is the one you have to ask because of the age. What does all in mean for a 37-year-old? I would say it's still all in. He's coming off an MVP season. The way the league rules are, there's no reason to think he doesn't have another great year, then good year, and then maybe at age 40, you know, there's a decline. But I think that's a trade-off you're willing to take with the modern NFL, knowing a quarterback can play at a very high level at 38 and 39. At 40, you know, probably all bets are off. But I believe he would be – I believe he would be. Certainly he was ready to for Watson. That's off the table right now. I believe with Rodgers, it's something they're prepared to do. They got to know he's available, number one. And if he becomes available, I would be surprised if George Payton isn't nimble enough to get seriously involved, not make a call, okay, we don't like the price, move on. They understand, if you look at the way the team's built right now, they're really a quarterback away from being a contender. I'm not saying Super Bowl contender, but if you put Rodgers on this roster right now, they're a playoff team for most. They're immediately a team that is viewed as that could win 11, 12 games, and who knows when you get to the playoffs. Without him, they are considered one of the worst offenses by points per game, and their quarterback situation by the industry, whether correct or not, is viewed as one of the worst in the league right now. Maybe that they will far exceed that expectation. But that's where it's at right now. And you would be going from one that's considered the worst, one of the worst quarterback rooms to getting the reigning MVP who threw 48 touchdowns with 5 interceptions last year. Think on this a minute of how jarring the change would be. Rodgers threw more touchdowns last year, 48, than the Packers had punts, 47. Last year, the Broncos had 23 passing touchdowns and 65 punts. So yeah, I would expect them to be all in based on where they are with their roster and the defense they put together this offseason. It would make sense. They're ready to win if they get functional quarterback play.
Troy, as always, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. See you.
Troy Ranker, Denver 7 Insider. He is presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Troy, obviously, very well versed in how management thinks for all his years covering the Rockies and baseball. And speaking of baseball, MLB The Show 21 is now out on both PlayStation and Xbox consoles. I give it huge thumbs up because I have a 14-year-old son who has it. He loves it. So who knows better than 14-year-old boys about the the truth when it comes to these video games. So if he endorses it, I'll pass that along. I feel good in endorsing it as well. Fun for hardcore casual baseball fans. You can play all 162 games or just drop in for the biggest moments of the postseason. Create your own dream team in Diamond Dynasty with your favorite legends and current stars. We're giving away a free copy for PlayStation or Xbox. All you have to do to enter to register to win is sign up for the free Denver Sports Daily, which you should have anyway, our daily newsletter with news, columns, game recaps, and more. Sign up now at denverfan.com, and you're instantly in the running to win MLB The Show 21. This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.